It's time now for the Truth Restoration Bible Study Conference Call. You'll hear various Bible teachers as guests, and you'll also have an opportunity to voice your thoughts. We record every Wednesday at noon Pacific time. Join the conversation next week. Visit truthrestoration.com to find out how. Now, let's jump into today's study.
Hello, thanks for joining us for the Truth Restoration Bible Study Conference Call. If you're listening and you'd like to join us live next time, you can contact us through our website, truthrestoration.com. We record the calls most Wednesdays at noon Pacific time, and we'd love to have you join us, and we'd love to hear your feedback as well from some of the conversation. So contact us through the website, again, truthrestoration.com. I'm excited today to have a friend of mine who is part of our men's Bible study up here in Placerville, where I live. And he's a familiar voice if you're a listener here of the radio show. But before I bring him on, I just wanted to open us up in prayer. And so, Father in heaven, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this time that we can just discuss your word and discuss prophetic things today. And we just pray that you'd bless our time, ask you'd forgive us of our shortcomings, and help us to please you and to honor you in everything we do. In the name of your Son, amen. And so, of course, there's a lot happening in the world today. And again, our guest is somebody that has authored books. He knows just about every Bible prophecy author that I've ever mentioned to him. He says, oh yeah, I've done a project with them or worked with them on this period of time. And so anyway, he is a pastor. He has made countless films. He is an author and a true student of Bible prophecy in these times, and very happy to have him on. Richard Paradise. Hey, Richard, thanks for being with us and taking the time.
Well, glad to be here. Greetings to all.
Well, we're very happy to have you with us, and hopefully the cell reception holds up. I know you're calling in remotely, but anyway, I wanted to start out. I know there's, of course, a lot going on in the world today in politics and with Israel, which I know is one of your main focuses, is Jerusalem and Israel. And when it comes to Bible prophecy, I agree that so much is centered around Jerusalem and Israel. And so today, though, to start out, I wanted to ask you about what happened on December 23rd. I know that there were some significant things that took place. I heard you mention that when we were talking the other day, and I wondered if you could just kind of start the conversation by talking about that for a couple minutes.
Okay. The 23rd of December, of course, the UN passed a resolution, 2334, and in that resolution, it was pretty much a resolution against the nation of Israel and the settlements. One of those settlements happens to be Jerusalem, which they call, the prime minister calls, not a settlement, but the capital of Israel, Jerusalem. And in doing so, history and prophecy met. A simple statement, since the inception of the new state of Israel in 1948, September 14, every president from Truman up until Bush has had positive statements as far as relationship between Israel and America. All of their statements are going to be on this film, and the dates are such. The current president has made somewhat of a reversal. Being one of the five members of the Security Council's permanent members, it invoked a new situation. Did not use, as other previous presidents have, their veto vote to stop this resolution from happening. So it pulled out. The 14 nations voted on it. Therefore, it became law, not like an executive order, but became law, permanent law, that the United Nations must abide by. The other 10 nations that are temporary went along with it. So the 15 nations minus America made the vote a permanent resolution, and I can get into that later if you want to know what that means in detail. But it also means something prophetic. It means for the first time in our history as a nation, we've made a 180-degree turn against the ally Israel. Number two, in a prophetic sense, all nations, 193 nations, are obliged to come under that resolution. That is now a law, which means for the first time in history, every nation under heaven will be set against things specifically that about Jerusalem. And we talk about the scriptures that validate that at another time. But two things historically. One, our nation has made a change 180 degrees since its inception of Israel in 1948, and two, the United Nations have brought every nation under heaven against Israel and specifically Jerusalem. That historically and prophetically gets fulfilled in Zechariah 12. So that's where I'm going.
Okay, boy, a lot going on, and man, something else. Well, so that has kind of set the stage, and that's really what provoked you. I think you mentioned a film a minute ago there, and basically that's what provoked you to put together this new film, which, if I'm not mistaken, is called The Curse. Is that correct?
Yes, very exciting title. I'm sure it will go over big. But yes, it's called The Curse, and it has to do about the curse mentioned in the book of Genesis chapter 12, where the Lord speaks to Abraham saying, I will bless all the nations that bless thee, and I will curse those who curse thee. So taking from there, we've gone and looked at the scriptures and how they have impacted other nations and how it will impact our nation and other nations that voted on this, and we'll have something legitimate, something not esoteric, but something real that we can point to existentially and say, look, these are the nations, what has happened to them, and the individuals, or in this case, an individual who invoked all of this, what is happening to them? So an imprecatory prayer, which I mentioned several psalms that are that, prince to invoke that which God has already said will do. Well, we put ourselves on the line, basically. We're not just thinking about this or even having a conviction about it. We're speaking forth these things and saying, this should happen, and God is God, and his word is true, then he will bring about these things that have come about against him and his nation and to release Israel from existence. So the film is basically about everyone positive about Israel, still present, and now the two entities are present in the United Nations, turning 180 degrees. But yeah, it's a film about what's happening to the nations based on convictions they have against Israel and what God is going to do about that.
Okay, well, you know, I do want to open it up for questions in just a moment, but before I do, I wanted to read the verse that you mentioned, Genesis chapter 12. It's a key verse in all of this conversation, and verses 1 through 3, it says, Now the Lord had said to Abram, Get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So I just wanted to lay that framework because I know that's what you referenced a minute ago. And I think that's important that, you know, people listening that maybe aren't familiar with that. That's a pretty key verse in this prophetic times of Jerusalem and Israel and that. And so with that, does anyone have any questions for Richard at this point?
I've got a question towards the film.
Okay, great.
With the premise going off of blessing those who bless them and cursing those who curse them, I'm just curious as to how you intend to show the premise of people that are being blessed for blessing Israel when most of the world, even when they're blessing Israel, they're coming around the back with a knife stabbing them. So, you know, you got blessings on one hand or one side of the mouth and cursings out of the other side of the mouth. And that's kind of the whole world view. So I don't know how you intend to show a difference between blessings and cursings from a worldview perspective.
Well, I think your question is a very real one we have to deal with. And I know in this situation, all 193 nations, as of the 23rd of December, are under the authority of the Security Council. So the law, the resolution that was passed is law. It is international. Like it or not, all 193 nations are now under that status of we're going to do things to Israel that are very harmful towards it, specifically Jerusalem. So, yeah, I don't believe there are any nations that are going to escape some of the things that have come down in Zechariah. You know, it says every nation under heaven will be made a cup of trembling based on what's going around in Jerusalem. In Hebrew, it actually says a cup of poison. So what that's going to look like and to the degree that particular nations have, in fact, a real distaste and dishonor and of the nation of Israel, I believe there's going to be problems brought about in them. There are many nations who are quite positive toward Israel, and they have been coming forth and mentioning that to the officials in Israel since that resolution has been passed. So only God alone is going to know who is telling the truth, what nation is standing with Israel, and truly not. Sometimes their spokespeople are one way, but the people of the nation are another. For instance, seven times I've been taking teams to Israel, not as tourists, but as to sharing the gospel. We have found the Koreans, for instance, phenomenal amount of Koreans throughout the land. Every week, hundreds of them coming, blessing Israel, blessing Israel. Tom Hess over in Jerusalem, International House of Prayer Jerusalem, bring a giant conference of nations that stand with Israel. And I believe those who show up on the ground and make statements are the true representatives of those nations, not some puppet, some dictator, some elected person who makes a statement, or some ambassador at the UN that speaks on behalf of those people. As we know, many of our own personalities and politicians don't represent our own feelings as Christians.
Sure, but it's always the leaders. I get what you're saying. From our perspective, there's the people who truly represent and bless Israel. These would be the people. But then you've got the kings. In this case, we would say world leaders or leaders of countries, whether they're appointed, voted in, or whatever. But there's a hierarchy, and there's things that are dished out from our Father, and it's always down through the leaders, regardless of the people. That's not to say that he doesn't protect his people or separate his people when he's going to give judgment in one form or the other. But it's not through the goodwill of the people that do bless Israel from the nations. It's still punishment is still dealt through the leadership or the kings of those worlds. And that's the pattern that we see throughout his word.
Well, and having to invoke, a curse against the leader of the biggest, most wealthy, most powerful nation on the earth, President Obama, it's a very difficult task to say, I am going to say this person has initiated this. We know that to be a fact. It wasn't Samantha, our representative at the UN, that made this up on her own. It came down through the Secretary of State, Kerry. It came down initially through the Obama administration, which is a nice word of saying the president. Yes, I do believe that person has brought about some things that will take place in America. Now, things can take place in America, and at the same time, God can separate his people while that is taking place. And I believe that there's a protection and a grace upon them, whose scripture says in Psalm 22, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They who love her shall prosper. There's wonderful promises that stand with God's word. And I believe even as judgment comes or whatever happens, God's people will stand aside and there'll be some kind of representation of who is and who isn't. Isaiah chapter 26 and 9 of the book I'm writing, Judgment, has to deal with, when my judgments are in the earth, then the people will learn of my righteousness. So I believe there's got to be some existential moments where things begin to happen that no one can doubt that these things are supernaturally invoked, that they're from God. They're not some manipulation of science or media or Hollywood or anything else. God alone is going to bring about things in the earth and on the earth that are going to make people represent themselves either as believers or unbelievers, and that's where the line is drawn, the line in the sand. So, yes, I believe there can be judgment upon a nation based on leadership, and I believe that's true in this case. And I also believe there are people within that very nation who can somehow pass through that judgment without a problem. That's what happened to the people leaving Egypt. It's happened many times in history through the Dark Ages, where the Waldenese and Huguenots and others were able to walk through as communities and not be untouched, but powerful witnesses unto God, even though the world around them was crumbling. So sometimes it takes the darkness to make the light shine a little brighter.
Absolutely.
Thanks for filling in all the blanks there. I tend to agree, and I look forward to seeing your film.
Super. Well, as we go forward, I wanted to just read a couple more of the verses that have been referenced. And one of them, I think you quoted, Richard, but it's Psalm 122, verse 6, says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. And that's one. And then the other one was Zechariah chapter 12. And I just wanted to read the first maybe five or six verses here, and just to kind of give that background here. So Zechariah chapter 12, starting in verse 1, it says, "The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples, when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. In that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion and its rider with madness. I will open my eyes on the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day I will make the governors of Judah like a fire pan in the woodpile, and like a fiery torch in the sheaves. They shall devour all the surrounding peoples on the right hand and on the left, but Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, Jerusalem." So again, that's Zechariah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. And I think that it's verse 3 where it mentions that it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. Is that one of the key spots that you're referencing?
Yes. Historically, we can go back to the Roman conquest of Israel, and they, as a matter of hatred towards the Jews and Israel, of course, we know that the Philistines were the enemy of Israel, and they were not Arab of descent. They were from the Grecian islands. They were a Aryan race and settled all along the coastline, and the Philistines were, in fact, a thorn in the flesh to Israel. So when Rome conquered it, as a matter of descent, let's just really do something historical. We'll rename Israel and we'll call it Philistinia. That name ultimately had to do with Philistines, had nothing to do with Palestine or Palestinians. It was a different race, a different time, a different name that ultimately got changed to Palestine. Same thing with Jerusalem. During the same reign of Rome, I believe it was the Legion 6-9 that were over all of that Middle East portion of Rome, they renamed Jerusalem the City of Peace, a literal in the Hebrew, Yerushalayim, City of Double Peace. They named that Italian name Apostolia Capitol. So they renamed Jerusalem, they renamed the nation, and henceforth we have the first nation that came against the time of erasing of the names of the nation. That was a nation doing that, the Roman Empire. Here we have 193 nations. To our known abilities, every nation under heaven is covered by those 193 nations, contemporarily speaking. And they're basically setting up to do the same thing that Rome did. Divide Jerusalem, return Israel to a pre-1967 borders, which everybody says, every general, every diplomat says it's an impossibility to defend yourself when you have more than 8 miles between the sea and your enemy. That is part of this new resolution. Many things involved. You've got to read the 13 clauses in this resolution and understand historically what they evoke. Proposition 338, 232, other things from the past that are brought out of historical things and put into this resolution, including the Hague Court. It is a flat-out frontal attack on the nation, its status, its capital. So here we have all the nations under the guise of this new law. Let me just read one of the things that deal with the blessing and the curse. We know that that statement to Abraham, relevant, I'll bless that, bless thee and curse thee, curse thee, has been quoted by many believers throughout ages. But definite, to make it definite is what it's talking about, you have to go back to Psalm 105.
Well, you know, speaking of the Abrahamic covenant and all that you're talking about, I would definitely like to read that verse that you just referenced. But before I do, we have to take a quick break. And so we're going to go to a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you for listening to the Truth Restoration Bible Study Conference Call, and we'll be back in just a moment.
world needs caring professionals to make a positive impact in our communities. Simpson University's Master's in Counseling Psychology degree prepares you for a career in marriage and family therapy. Our award-winning faculty brings practical clinical expertise and research into the classroom. Attend classes in the evening and earn your degree in just 2 years. Be empowered to make a difference. Call today at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu.
Hello, welcome back to the Truth Restoration Bible Study Conference Call. Thanks for being with us. We're talking with Richard Paradise. Very happy to have him with us today. Talking about Israel, the covenant made with Abraham. There's a lot of discussion and conflict about this, obviously, in today's world. So I do want to read that verse that you mentioned in Psalms. And so what is that verse reference? And there's some significant conflict even with some leaders right now in this country, right?
Yes, and right now in America, there's a debate between two very strong personalities, authors, heads of big ministries, names that we'll not mention. But let me tell you, they're at the top of the food chain and speaking against this debate that is going on. But talking about that Abrahamic covenant, Psalm 105, 6 through 11.
Okay, great. So Psalm 105, starting in verse 6, it says, O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. So yes, he is speaking specifically of the land of Israel.
We're talking about Eretz Israel. We're not talking about a spiritual Israel and Israel's coming down from heaven. We're talking about physical land. Eretz Israel, a covenant eternally given to God to the Israelites. That stands there, and that's the scripture right there. It's in debate right now as to, is there any meaning for God and Israel to exist? Is Israel anything to do with prophecy today? Does modern Israel have anything to do with the Word of God? Blah, blah, blah. So this covenant, whatever you believe politically speaking, that covenant is eternal, unchangeable, immutable. It talks about the land, a physical thing, and that's what's coming under fire right now through the United Nations and through our administration.
Wow, it is bizarre, and I tell you what, if anybody has any comments or questions, I think now'd be a good time to go ahead and fire away. If you have a question for Richard or some of the verses that we've looked at or some of the conversation, now would be a great time.
This is Jeff. I just had a brief comment the other day after John Kerry's speech. I couldn't believe it. I had to read it like 10 times to make sure I was getting it right. But what he said was, Israel can either be Jewish or democratic, but they cannot be both.
Yep, but not both. Yes.
I mean, what in the world kind of statement, ridiculous, insane statement is that? You can't be Jewish and democratic. I mean, I know what he's saying.
Right.
He's saying they can't be sovereign and, you know, they can't be sovereign and still be democratic. You have to have this two-state solution. But what an insane statement to make. That's like saying, you know, Christians can either be Christian or democratic or, well, whatever. It's ridiculous.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Jeff. That's as stupid a statement as I've ever heard. He went on for 72 minutes, almost as long as Obama's final address, which is the most hyper-narcissistic power you've ever heard. But the bottom line is, this president and this administration know exactly what they're doing, as does the United Nations Security Council.
So my question is, we read these prophecies, we know they're gonna come true, there's no doubt about it. The ones in Zechariah, the ones in Isaiah, all the prophets, they're for sure to happen. The question is, Richard, you know, this could either be it, or this could be the beginnings of it, or it could even be in the future. So what else, I mean, this is huge, but what else gives you the urgent feeling that this is kind of the beginning of the end here?
Well, I for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, I had a bunch of my colleagues here at our cabin stay the weekend at a second hand.
And these guys are major authors. They write books that are 600-700 pages long, and they're far more educated than I am. Most of these guys have three letters behind their name. I don't. But the bottom line is, I've been working in this situation since 1972. I've worked with the Israeli government, the Israeli Consul General. I've taken seven teams to evangelize in the downtown areas of Jerusalem. I know many believers in Haifa, Mount Carmel, down in Tel Aviv, in Jerusalem. I believe I have a perspective because of these people who I've known for 30, 40 years, some longer, that there's something happening that's historical and prophetic, and that is this. Number one, the historical part is, this nation, since its inception of Israel on September 14th of 1948, has stood exactly with each president, one after another, from Truman to Eisenhower to Kennedy, wonderful friends of Israel, even when Israel was doing things they didn't want them to do. This is not the case with the president. So we have something now that is happening in our lifetimes that has never happened before. So the now thing is important. Number two, you've got something historical with the United Nations that we've never had. Rome did back in the 70 AD, but we've never had every nation on board. So now we have the whole 193 nations that are obliged to make law that this resolution, 2334, is in fact the law, and it will begin to take apart Israel and Jerusalem piece by piece, bring them way back to the 67 borders, which everyone believes is undefensible. But coming up this Sunday is the Paris Conference. The Paris Conference will have 70 nations, unique nations, on a Middle East peace agreement. It's 5 days before the inauguration of this new president, and they will try and push through, guaranteed, everyone is saying this agenda is coming directly from our White House. They're going to try and make it a law that is brought before the United Nations before the 20th of January that says there must be, and we now recognize, a Palestinian state, therefore removing Israel and Palestinians by making some peace amongst themselves, but now having the power to use the international body to form things of peace or territory. So this is unprecedented. So next Sunday, stay tuned with what happens in Paris, because what comes out of that will put the nail in the coffin, you might say, specifically to this president. Let me quote this scripture. This is very important. This is the imprecatory prayer. That means to invoke the covenant of the curse. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace. Be not still, O God, for thine enemies make a tumult. They that hate thee have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. Psalm 83, 1-5. That imprecatory prayer is what I am praying, that God will invoke that which he said he would do when the nations set themselves together as one against his nation Israel, and more specifically Jerusalem. So this is where we're at. So I believe it brings it into a time with, you see, 1948, every president to present has been involved. Now in 2016, and with the conference in France this week, 2017, these things are being invoked by them, and therefore I believe we can say, God, invoke that which you said you will do.
I have an email that came in. Before I read that, Jeff, did you have any follow-up question on that, or did that pretty much cover things?
Yeah, no, it covered it for sure. It's unprecedented, and that's the thing. I think that is entirely significant. The United Nations comes into this, and no, that answered my question. My lingering question I was asking someone this the other day was, I understand what presidents do on their way out. They pardon people they couldn't pardon before because it would raise all sorts of flags. They push through things they didn't want to do because it would show their hand. But, you know, with Obama, he was in there for 8 years. I think with the way that the media was behind him, the nation was behind him, and everything else, he could have done I mean, in my opinion, he's done a lot of damage, but he could have done 10 times more damage because he had everyone behind him. So why do you think, Richard, that he didn't hit the ground running, or maybe even in his second term, hit the ground running and do what he's trying to do now? Why is he just doing it now?
Well, I believe his heart is being exposed, number one. I think that's part of the Lord. I think, actually, believe it or not, once he is no longer the president, his allies, his relationships, contributors, where he speaks and who he's with is going to show his real nature, number one, that you won't see while he's still truly a president. Number two, you've got things that just took place in the last week. He just released for sale 130 tons of enriched uranium that will go, ready for this, to Iran, enough to make 10 nuclear weapons. The biggest sponsor of terrorism in the world, the biggest hater of Israel in the world, has put all kind of missiles in Lebanon and Syria for Hezbollah towards Israel, and he just released 130 tons of enriched uranium to them? You've got to be kidding me. What he says is one thing. This has been his whole thing. What he does is another. And it's what he does that God is interested in. It's what we're interested in. He's a great speaker, but I can tell you, I've been following this man for a long time, and this guy is not honest, he's not sincere, and his convictions are all over the place. So I do believe that there's going to be some things, but not on his person and upon his regime, and hopefully there will be some grace. It seems like there's an elect doing a 180, says he'll actually bring the embassy back into Jerusalem, and that'll create probably the Third World War itself. But there seems to be a 180-degree change that may be a buffer, again, for those who are holding religious convictions. This inauguration will be the first inauguration in history to have the religious overtone that it will have. Six religious speakers will speak at that particular invocation during the inauguration. And they come from every spectrum. And one, first time in history, a rabbi, the Wiesenthal Center, the biggest ministry of anti-Semitism in the world, will also be speaking, a Jewish rabbi. So here we go. We're talking about spirituality and politics and international things going on back and forth. I believe we're in the throes of some of the most exciting and most scary things to take place. As Christians, it's time for us to wake up and get out and begin to proclaim these truths.
Very good. Well, I got this email. I wanted to just read it real quick, and it kind of ends with a question to you, Richard. It says that the covenant was made with Eretz Israel about the land does not mean that all national Israel will be included in the new covenant. The land is under covenant with natural Israel and secure, but all natural Israelites are not in covenant and guaranteed entrance into the Jerusalem which is above, correct? So that was, it's a little bit off, you know, it's a little different than kind of some of what we're talking about, but do you mind answering that question there?
Sure, I think this is a bit kind of controversy that goes on within Christendom and with theologians. The Israelites, who they're now the Jews, or be it the Ashkenazi or Sabra Jews, most of them, 80% of Israel is agnostic or atheistic, 80%, highest of any civilized country. So they're extremely secular people. I did a film on that several years ago. No, all of Israel won't be saved, i.e. everyone living in a physical place has nothing to do with the living God, believe me. So if you're saying the Jews are all going to get saved, they're all part of this covenant because they're Jewish, you say one of the land and Aliyah, no, there's nothing to do with their redemption there. Believe it or not, we've sat down with major rabbi theologians in our country, and they freak out when they read the scriptures and say, yes, this has never come to pass. Two-thirds of the inhabitants of Jerusalem will be destroyed in the coming event. So they're not happy about seeing seemingly another Holocaust coming to their very land, but something very detrimental has to happen there before the Lord puts his hand down and stops it. So separate the physical land that cannot and should not be divided, the capital, Jerusalem, which should not be divided and remain the capital of the nation. That's what we're talking about. That's what the covenant is made with, the land of Canaan, a physical land, not everyone who lives in the land.
Okay. So I have one thing. Richard, where will people be able to find that video? Can they go to your website, or where will people be able to find the video that you've been working on called The Curse?
My physical website, there's three of them, but the one I'm using is called Mistrex, hasn't been really updated recently. I've been so working on this book on the sequence of judgment and now this film. But I put my videos up on Vimeo, so I will put out a link to this. And if you give me some people to send it to, or I'll put it on my Mistrex site and simply say links up to Vimeo, which the film called The Curse can be viewed on. It's a high-definition archival place that keeps all my videos, and you can have access to any of them. Some of them are just local and not political and personal, and have some specifically about what is going on in the kingdom of God. This will be in that realm. So as soon as this is finished, maybe today, by tomorrow noon for sure, that video will be up on Vimeo, and I'll give you a link to that video.
Great. So hopefully we'll have a link from truthrestoration.com. But either way, newstracks.org is the website to go to. That's where Richard will have a link set up there. Newstracks.org. And that's, of course, to see the film that is new, coming out, that Richard's been working on and putting together, called The Curse. So again, newstracks.org. So Richard, as we're beginning, kind of winding down here in this this time that we have, what do you think about the upcoming months? I know that no one knows the future. No one knows what's going to happen, you know, outside of even this country. I mean, in the world, all kinds of crazy stuff. But with the presidency shifting here and with Trump coming in, I know that there's a lot of things that happen that are maybe, at least I've heard, are irreversible. But do you have any confidence that maybe Trump can help get things back on track in some respects?
Well, he can overturn a lot of the executive orders the day he's president. That's no doubt about that. But knowing this, this president so craftily, like he did something, he invoked a law that went back, I believe, to 1924, saying there could be no resource drilling or any kind of mining or oil exploration outside this area in Alaska and the Antarctic area. And he did that knowing that this upcoming president would be looking to do that. And he literally put a law in effect that was brought back years ago that actually ties, it cannot be changed, it ties the hand of the incoming president. Likewise, knowing that the upcoming president says, I will move the embassy from Tel Aviv back to Jerusalem, he put out another law that allowed this government and its Senate and its governors and its House to not be able to do that for at least 6 months from after he was president. So he can't do it on day one. I believe on 24th of May, Jerusalem will do a 50th anniversary. I believe that day is when Trump will announce that he is, in fact, going to move the embassy back to Jerusalem. It'll be the western part of East Jerusalem, so it won't be in Palestinian space, but it will bring about much consternation and war and terrorism and this push button like you cannot believe, because, again, my doctrine for 45 years is specify one thing and stay there, and that is Jerusalem. That has been my heart, mind, soul. I've been there 7 times. I've argued with people about it. We know politicians, secular, unbelieving rabbis, Christians on both sides of the fence. No matter what happens, wherever I share the gospel, on the streets, or down in San Francisco or in Berkeley, wherever we go and bring on films, they all say, don't believe a thing I say. Keep your eye on the prize. Jerusalem will become the center of attraction throughout all the world, and that is what we have to keep our eyes on.
Well, very good. I got this email here recently, and I don't know if you've seen this or not, but it was it's from Johnny Enlow, and it wasn't from him, but it was somebody that forwarded out this word, kind of a prophetic word for 2017 from Johnny Enlow. And there were some things that I thought were very interesting, and he's, like, just some of the headings are, you know, Israel betrayed, but God won't be played. That's one of his headings. There's Trump will trump the betrayal. Nations of the world, don't mess with Israel. And so he's got some very, I think, really good things to say and stuff like that. But one of the things is the Reformation glory train is coming in. That's another one, and the church will be highly favored. So he sees that there's going to be some great things happening here in 2017, even though all this other stuff is going on. But I just wanted to read this one thing. I was just kind of curious, just as a as an example, maybe of some of his optimism on some of this stuff. But he says, basically, and this is, you know, somewhat debatable, but Rosh Hashanah 2015 to Rosh Hashanah of 2016 brought us the 70th year of Jubilee, and this unprecedented year of Jubilee brought us God's choice of Donald Trump as president of the United States and leader of the free world. He says, Trump, at the age 70, became elected president of this nation during the Hebraic year 5777. On Inauguration Day, he will be 70 years old, 7 months, and 7 days old, which is just kind of neat, because the Electoral College changed some votes that allowed Trump to end up with exactly 77 more electoral votes. Seven is the prime number of God, and why, and is why there are seven spirits of God.
And then he goes on, and I just thought that was kind of interesting, kind of cool, and just curious if you had any comments on that.
Well, you know, one of the gentlemen I've had here, and I brought him out of the Bible study, is Doug Krieger, who's a math teacher at school, retired, but he's written half dozen books at least on this subject. And he just released a bunch of information on the number 70. And that number 70 is the 70 nations coming to Paris. And then he does a backwards study on that number and how it relates to Israel. I'll send you that information via email and link you up to with his Tribulation 7000 site. Doug does a tremendous amount, and you'll have a hard time debating him because the guy's a little kid, especially when it comes to numbers. But the number 70 is important, I do believe. On the true side, I believe that the church is going to be awake. I believe the church has been in a backslidden position in America, especially. Look what's happened to Europe. It's gone. There's a vacuum that you've left, and what's come in is Muslims and problems and terrorism. And we have an opportunity to make stand, speak the truth, go out and love people, but have a conviction that these things are being anointed and brought about by the Lord. And if the Christians don't get off their benches and churches and do something in their lives to show the world that there are godly living people who have truth, then judgment will come. It'll come to the church first, it says. So, yeah, it's exciting. I'm not paranoid about what's happening at all. I'm happy to be alive at this day because we're seeing the Lord's hand. And I believe these two events with our administration and the UN so much bring about this reality. So let's get out there and begin to proclaim. I don't even use the word evangelism anymore. My whole team, we are a prophetic proclamation team. We go out, we bring videos to the street, we bring out literature to the street. Now, starting in 23 March, we'll be having a live streaming video interview. So we're just getting all that equipment together.
You know, one of the last things he says in that same paragraph, he says, outgoing President Barack Obama's legacy-tainting final acts against Israel are an immediate major proof that the insertion of Trump as president was an urgent need for us and our nation. He says, we will avoid many national catastrophes because of the proper honoring and care of Israel that our new president will see to. And then he goes on. But so, no, it is an incredible time to be alive and to witness some of the things that are going on, and I'm very happy that you're able to join us here for a little while. We just got a couple minutes left, and so if anybody has any last questions that you wanted to get in there, or just last comment real quick, then now would be the time. Any last questions or thoughts before we're winding down here?
Hi, this is Tom.
Hey, Tom.
I ask a question.
Great.
I was wondering if your guest is familiar with, it's in the Book of Numbers, and chapter 24, verse 24, where it's a prophecy way into the future of Israel, and it talks about a major conflict, but it uses the family name of Kittim, which was actually a descendant of Japheth, Noah's son Japheth. But there's a connection between that prophecy and Daniel chapter 11, verse 30, where it talks about these ships from Kittim opposed the beast power. But the beast actually ends up destroying the ships of Kittim and the territory of Kittim. And so the reason why the ships of Kittim are important is you can actually find out what happened to Israel by where the land of Kittim is, and that comes from a prophecy in Jeremiah. Let's see, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 10, where it tells Israel to go over to the land of Kittim. And remember, the nation of Israel was divided and separated from Judah. And so Israel kind of disappeared as a nation. Some people have guesses where it went to. But anyway, the prophecies tie Israel to the territory that was the land of Kittim. And a lot of Bible translators translate it as the western coastlands, and some people think it's just Cyprus, that small island, but I don't believe that can be a major influence in a world battle, a little island of Cyprus. But anyway, for my long presentation or whatever, I believe the land of Kittim is actually the United States. And the original founders of the United States, many people believed into the British being the covenant people that were given the name Israel when Jacob blessed his sons Ephraim and Manasseh, and he said that they would carry the name Israel with them. And they had all these blessings that generally did not occur for the people of Judah. And so northern Israel was cast out after their sins, and they went into Syrian captivity, but then later they escaped captivity and kind of disappeared in history. So people believe the British people received those blessings, and eventually the United States became one great nation that came out of that commonwealth of the British Empire. And that's why we have almost a covenant relationship with our Creator. Even the Constitution or Declaration of Independence focus on that our liberties come from the laws of nature and the laws of nature's God. And so we are in the land of Kittim, and that was where the prophecy of Jeremiah said Israel would go. So in the future, possibly because of Donald Trump, we will interfere with the nations that try to oppose Israel or the Jewish people. And because of that interference, that's when World War III starts, and that links the prophecies of Daniel chapter 11:30 and Numbers 24:24 together on this major end time event. So I didn't know if you ever looked at that.
I've not done it to Kittim, but I do believe that much of what you're saying is true and biblical. I do believe that we have something happening right now in our history as we live that has never ever happened before. Obviously, every day is different from the day past, but in an era of time, we talk about again the reestablishment after 2,000 years of the nation of Israel, or presidents and nation coming from obviously European nations conglomerate are now in such a big authority. They're going apart. We're growing and getting bitter. But no one knows where the upcoming president is going to take us. There's no doubt. I tell all my friends, you don't know for sure where this guy is going to go, where we're going to be. He may be Cyrus, he may be this, he may be the other thing. He can definitely provoke people. This relationship with Russia, where is that all coming from? Where is that going to go? He could either be a great peacemaker that brings in a problem to the world. He could be very violent and go to war, bring us into a war. He's a person that no one really has a handle on. So there's never been a time to draw close to the Lord and ask him and ask the Holy Spirit in us to give us revelation of what's going on in this administration and the new future that we're looking at. It's not. We don't have any permanent answer based on where this country is going to go and how our president-elect is going to lead us. Very controversial person. I hate to get political because I don't want to divide the brethren on political realm. But the bottom line is we're living in a new age and a new day, and it's exciting. But we do know one thing that's permanent. What God says about the nation, says about his people, says what's going to happen there, that the nations are going to come against them. It's going to be something that you can't hide from. It'll be known of all the world. And I think see a lot coming on this Sunday. Keep your eyes on what's going on with the 70 nations against Israel. And all saying right now is being led by the administration of America, this whole thing in France. So I have visio quotes from both Obama and the president of France saying how they feel about Israel, negative. I have those flat out. Everything I do right now, I have actual video. Go on Snoops and all the other truth programs on the internet. You've got to have facts. You can Facebook things and you can get into Photoshop and change photography. You can't do that so much in video. You really got to be good to change video completely unless you're a Hollywood studio. So we see that we have some facts relevant to this administration and where it's going. And I believe that as he leaves, he will show his hand as to who he is, what he's all about. I believe we're seeing that take place. I think the final draw will happen this Sunday, and we see where these 70 nations go, and they go where I think they may be going. It's time to just pray.
Well, you know, on that note, we are just about out of time, and I'd love to maybe go right into that prayer at this point and ask you if you wouldn't mind, if you'd be up for just kind of closing us out in prayer. That would be awesome.
Sure. This prayer begins and ends every Hebrew gathering around the world. The Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Ahad, O the Lord our God is one. And Lashana Haba'a B'Yerushalayim next year in Jerusalem is said after every major Seder, every gathering, every Passover feast. I believe that cry of God's people next year in Jerusalem is going to be very important. So I would just pray that the believers who know the Lord and have the Holy Spirit in them and have a prophetic sense about them, start asking God to point the compass at that nation. And Lord, give us wisdom and discernment as to what to say and when to say it, how to pray and when to pray. And Lord, do not let these situations that are coming upon our nation, whether they be cursings or blessings, separate the believers who know you, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Christ, our Messiah. And Lord God, bless each one of those who minister your gospel and share it in truth and love. We pray that in your precious and holy name.
Amen.
Amen. Awesome. And so thank you very much, Richard, for being with us and taking the time. Appreciate it. And folks, thanks for listening. And you know what? Before we close out, I wanted to read one verse that, Richard, you had read just a little bit ago, and I was just going to kind of end it with this. It's Psalm 83, verses 1 through 5. And you read it, but I just wanted to read it again and kind of end things off this way. It says, "Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace, and do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, 'Come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more.' For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you." And it's just a powerful verse. It's a powerful time that we're living in. And I encourage you folks that are listening, and everybody that's on here the call with us, to do as Richard said there at the last of his at the conversation there, was to pray. Prayer works, and I'll tell you what, we need it more than ever. So encourage you to do that, and thank you again for being with us. And again, if you have questions or comments about the show, about the recording, you'd like to be a part of it, you'd like to have some feedback to us, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us through our website, truthrestoration.com. And of course, you can get that video. We'll have a link hopefully up on Truth Restoration, but also newstracks.org is Richard Paradise, one of the websites that he runs, newstracks.org. And as always, you can hear this recording and other conference call recordings that we've had on the air at truthrestoration.com. You can also, of course, contact us through the website, which we'd love to hear from you, truthrestoration.com. Hope you have an awesome day. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Truth Restoration Bible Study Conference Call. Thanks for listening. To join the conversation next week, visit our website at truthrestoration.com. Also, we would love to hear your feedback. Contact us at truthrestoration.com. Have a great day, and God bless you.